This is an interview with Eleanor M. Carey in San Antonio, Texas on March 26, 2007. Interviewers are Ruth Stewart and Patricia Martin. Ellie, start in by telling us about your early life, where you were born and where you grew up.
Okay. I was born in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I was the youngest, the last child, that was born. My family moved to a little town called Avoca, Pennsylvania. You know, at that time, of course, they were worried about, my mother worried about them, you know, going to work a long distance and stuff like that. So they decided to move up closer to his work. And we went there when I was just, I was in school there, the first grade, in that little town. And it was Avoca, A-V-O-C-A, Pennsylvania. And it's a nice little town. It's still there, you know, and they're not sure that they know me anymore, but they're still. And so I went to a parochial school there. And high school in another city. My mother sent me to the high school, the Catholic high school there. And then from there I went to Mercy Hospital School of Nursing. And
What made you decide to go into nursing?
One of the things I thought, it was something that I felt that I would like to do something, you know, be somewhere or be something and stuff like that. And I guess that was what I was thinking about. And my father and my mother supported me in that, and my brothers.
It was an opportunity for a career.
Yeah, I had another one sister. That was enough sisters.
And then, so you went to Mercy Hospital.
Mercy Hospital.
That was a three-year diploma program.
That was a two-year, three years, I guess, diploma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've wiped out those anymore, and that's a good. I think they need nursing put actually in the learning field instead of just all, you know, mm-hmm. creeping along. But anyhow, I went in the Air Force. Oh, listen. Do you want to give them a call and tell them I'll get them or get a message? Thank you. We were talking about it, and I really wanted to do something, and I thought I was in this little town, and I thought, well, jeepers, I don't know what to do. And then I finally decided that, and I said to my father, I think I'd like to go into the Air Force. And he said, well, you know, it's your choice, but remember, you know, that's going to be tough and so forth and so on. And he knew that I knew he would say he was thinking about. And so I went to school there. It was, 3 years, I guess it was. 3 or 4 years.
This is at Mercy's Hospital.
That was at Mercy Hospital, yeah. And so I got all the rudimentary stuff there, you know. And when I decided I wanted to go into the Air Force, I had heard them flying over and stuff like that, and I'd seen some of them. And I thought, well, why not me, you know, because I don't have any, I'm free fail, you know. And so I told my mother and dad, and they said, well, they weren't too happy about it. My mother wasn't too happy. My father was a little more, he thought it was better. He was okay. He said, now I have, two of my older brothers were in the Marines. So he told people, you know, I had two sons in the Marines and one daughter in the Air Force. He said, I don't know which way to turn.
We were interrupted there for a minute Ellie, but you were talking about your parents' concern about your going into the military, but they finally agreed to they agreed that
that's right.
You could join your two brothers in the military.
I could join, and they would say, you know, my father said, well, I have a daughter, you guys can't, you know, take care of that, you know, he said, because most of them had men in the military at the time. And he said, well, I have that daughter over there. And I went to Vietnam.
Well, where did you go first in the Air Force?
I went in Trident. I went in 55 in October, 55. So 13th of October, I was sworn in there. And I kept going. I was a, I think I'll tell you my medals and stuff like this.
We've got all that, so we'll just, we'll fill that in later.
Oh, okay. And what are we knowing? We were thinking about what? I lost my train of thought.
Where were you first stationed?
Oh, not in Fort Dix, what's the name of that place?
Okay, that's okay.
In Beirut. I went to Beirut, Lebanon. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was your first assignment.
That was
after
my first assignment.
After your
indoctrination and so forth.
Yeah, okay.
Rudy Tooty in Beirut, we called it.
And what was it like as an assignment in Beirut? What did you do as a nurse there?
I didn't like doing what was the children or something, but it was ordinary work. It was we took care of the children and we took care of the families in some conditions and in most places. And Beirut was really civilized, you know, and so that they were up with our thing of medicine, you know, that they talked.
Pretty
our
modern.
Medicine, yeah, the things like that. And then we went to Vietnam some time later.
From Beirut? You?
No, I went. I wonder.
We're moving on after our second interruption on this tape and hope that we can continue okay now. You were talking about what you were doing in nursing in Beirut, and you were doing general duty with pediatrics?
General duty nursing. And from there, I volunteered for Vietnam.
Okay.
And
right while you were at Beirut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd been someplace. There was someplace other than that, and I can't remember. But it was after that. It was after Beirut.
And, okay. And then Vietnam. Then what were you? What was your role there?
Went to Vietnam. Well, I was a general duty nurse, and. I wish I had those papers, because I will send you one as soon as I can get one, if I can locate the original, you know, because that has a whole lot of, about five sheets of information. But I was in Vietnam, and you know, it changed my way of thinking sometimes, because you know, we go around, I'm assuming I get the right thing, and I'm assuming that some places somebody is going to feed me, or you know, all these things. And when I look at a world like that over there, boy, there's a whole difference. Those little kids had so many, they were malnourished under our standards. And a lot of them had very serious lesions. We weren't sure about what it was from, but there was a lot of lesions, and they were deep, kind of deep. And of course, they'd play in the sand, or they'd be in the sand, and God knows where they lived, because we never did get, we got outside of some of the places, but not ever in.
So you were taking care of the Vietnamese local people?
As well as
our soldiers?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we called it MedCap. We go out to the villages, and that we feel is part of our, of what we should be doing over there, okay? Because nothing makes, if you know, if our soldiers come out and get shot at every time that they do anything like that, that we wanted those people on our side to know that we were not mean, spirited, and we would like to help them. And one way that we did this with the children who started and getting their lesions cleaned off. But the problem we had was they didn't know what soap was like. And soap was like. And we had, I remember calling or writing to my sister saying, send some soap. And they were, one of my friends, she was telling her niece about it and, you know, get some soap out there. And they were high school kids, so they had some, they found somebody that would give them the music, and they had a dance, a soap dance, and it would take so many bars of soap for them to get in and all. And I thought that was really, really neat, you know.
These were high school kids then?
They were high school kids, yeah. And they did it very vigorously, you know. And I have a large picture in, I thought maybe that he had it. I think mine is over there in Pennsylvania, and I'm going over pretty soon. And if I have the picture that I hope, I will be glad to give it to you.
Well, we would copy it and give it back if your nephew wants the original.
But this is fun, and this we're in. I guess you know how latrines with no doors on it, you know, was back. And so we would be sitting there, we would be there with the child or something. And I was cleaning this child's farm from all the stuff he had on it, you know. And this other, it was a perfect thing, he's there, you know. And this other little kid is looking, and he's kind of scared, but he's not getting close to it, you know. And it was just such a wonderful picture. And it's a large one, so I will try to retrieve that for him.
You were a flight nurse when you were over there?
Yes.
So you were actually on the aircraft?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We had, I was in nursing administration for 8 years and in flight nurse for 7 years. And I would like to have gotten, you know, kept going from there. But I'm not going to put what I said, turn it off and I'll also, because I don't want to be nasty.
Tending the soldiers on the airplane, like after they were evacuated, taking them?
Yes, air evac. That was the biggest thing that happened in that war, because we were able to get people right off the, you know, we could go in, we could fly in, as long as we got enough flight, you know, enough. What do I want to say? The length of the runway, you know how it would be. And if it was an emergency, boy, we could hit that thing and go off again. But it was a wonderful experience. And I just thought it was so great. And I think that was at that time, the Second World War, maybe. Maybe had a few, but this war really got, there was a lot of aircraft, and that was good. And one of the great days, I had a few more than men, and I'm thinking about it these days, and I'm going to write a letter or a note. The man that is trying to get into going to the White House, what's his name? Senator McCain, Senator McCain. I escorted Senator McCain when there was an exchange of prisoners of war kind of a thing, you know. And so they were put out in different groups because depending on where they were going, you know. And I can remember our commander saying to us that day when they were all set up to, you know, get them. And he said, do it flawlessly because the whole country will be watching you. And it was wonderful. So we got these these men, you know, and McCain is one that I escorted part of the way. We would escort part of the way so they would get, so somebody else would. There was a lot of people outside the fence. They were yelling at them, asking, did they know so and so and all and on. And that was difficult. We had been briefed earlier on what we should do and not do, you know. And one thing was you never asked them what they wanted to eat, because they didn't have that before, you know. So we would say, well, would you like pima chicken or something, or would
give
you
them
like
a choice, but
yeah,
not
give them
open-ended.
The choices, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, very interesting. And there was one young kid, he must have been, he looked like he was 18 or 19, I know he was doing. And I remember him so much too, because I was up near the cabin and during the flying in, he came up and he put his arms around me and he said, I'll always remember you, because you take me home. And I wanted to cry, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful, you know. Mm-hmm. So we thought that was a good
thing. So you were on flight duty for 7 years then?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Out of Vietnam, it wouldn't have been the whole time.
Yeah. No.
It was back here then from after that?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But, no, I was off status for a while for that time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would have stayed on it forever.
Yep.
You retired from San Francisco area?
No. Not San Francisco.
Where was your last duty station?
Oh, Lord, where was my last duty station? Flight nurse of 7 months. The separation date was 1979, October 31st, and that's when I separated. Okay. And do you want me to read my...
No, that's all right. We can fill that in later. We want to get your words at this point first.
Mm-hmm.
And after you came back from Vietnam, how did you feel in leaving Vietnam? How did you live in Vietnam? We haven't covered that. How did you, an Air Force nurse, live there?
Okay. Yes, we lived there, and we were, I first got there, I came off the flight line. I forget where where I was when I went. I went from there someplace and went there. And so I got a C-30, C-130, I guess it was, and I got a ride on one of those aircraft, you know. And then they dropped me off, and I had to find somebody else to take me someplace. And I talked to the people that were there, and they did very well. And I was asking, well, where can I spend the night, you know? And they told me where the flight nurses usually slept, you know. And so I got a place there. And in the meantime, at the same time, I was going in my summer uniform with my granny shoes, you know, and I was dying to get out of that so I could get a shower. And I never knew that a shower was so wonderful until I got there. And so then I was told that I was going to another place. And I've told off for a minute, if you don't mind. And I went to, I was going to, I was going to Vietnam, I guess. Did we close that, cover that one? Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you had been near Cameron Bay.
Oh, Cameron Bay, yeah. It was one of the places, yeah. And so I got to Cameron and found my friends. And I had my chief nurse. And she was a really neat lady, and the first thing she did when I arrived there, she took me to a party. And I thought that was, you know, that was the right idea, you know. And once I got sorted out, but we were living in, we lived in tents for a little bit. And the VIPs always came there, you know, for some reason. And they'd always tell us how to roll up the camp beside, you know, up the gum. Yeah, and we didn't do that, of course. Somebody else went in and did that for us. And so then we were,
Where did you eat when you lived in these tents?
Well, dependent on the tents, they would usually have a mess hall
someplace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, because we were almost transits at that point, you know, because, and so
you. And you had local people that took care of all your basic chores and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
How did you like the Vietnamese people that you interacted with?
I was just amazed at them, at because I thought that they were poor. Excuse me. But it seemed that they had a lightheartedness also at the same time, you know, because they go and they wore these long, you know, eyes. And they were very good at helping us. And we would talk to them, Mama-san, you know, and Mama-san would get our underwear and stuff out. And you had to watch them because you might lose them on the way, you know. So you always had some lingerie ahead. But I thought the Vietnamese, the ones that I had contact with, were very nice. They tried to learn our language, and they would learn a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And they would ask them, where were we from? And I think they thought everybody was from New York. And but, you know, they were anxious. And we were trying to collect some money, and I guess we did it too, because they didn't have, as far as I knew at that point, they didn't have any education processes. I mean, you know, like we have regular our schooling. But we collected some money to put one of the children, at least get them started in his education. And one of my friends who had a few drinks one night, and she was talking about this, and the tears were rolling down these poor little children, you know. So we said, yeah, every one of us felt the same way.
Mm-hmm. So then you left Vietnam eventually, and from where did you go there?
Oh, Lord, where did I go after Vietnam?
Did you come back to the States?
Oh, I came back to the States, yeah. And I forget where I was. I was in another assignment, it was a temporary assignment. And so in 79, I could get out at any time. You know, if they had, you know, I felt I was a career officer. And I didn't have to get out after 10 years or something like that. So I was there till 1979, in 24 years active duty.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it, every bit of it. Did not ever regret doing it. Never.
And did you have any changes in your idea about the military or the war from being in Vietnam and being exposed to that?
Yeah, I had, the exposure was, you know, I felt, you know, I was getting in something which was wonderful to me because I had not been there before. How do these people, how do they operate, how do they think about us? And the realization that so many of those children over there couldn't get an education, they don't even know that there is an education, you know? And some of the planters, I think, I shouldn't say this, but some of the planters, I think, probably gain for that, you know. So, I mean, if you keep them dumb, you know, they're going to work for you. And so those were some of the things that we were concerned about. I thought my reading became more powerful to find out where it was going and what was happening. Mm-hmm. And to me, at one time, you know, I learned that I lived in a different world, and there were so many people that didn't have, and you know, and they didn't have the people to get them, to get them the things that they needed, you know. And so some of the things I did was changing what goes up here.
Changing your own thinking processes.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Well, you know, Ellie, this has been very interesting, what you've told us about your experience in the Air Force, mm-hmm. and in Vietnam. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we close this up?
No, because as I told you, I had a write-up, and I don't know, I think I put it in the wrong place, and I'm trying to find it. If I find it, I'll be the first one that I'll give it to you, because... a lot of some of my feelings on there too, you know,
mm-hmm.
that we lived in a world that, you know, you thought everything was there and it was all right and everything was all right, and you look at people who barely get enough food a day, mm-hmm. you know, and little education, and some of those kids would say to some of when we were working with them or playing with them really. They'd say they would try to ask how much it would be. This would be like a 12-year-old or so, 14-year-old. How much would it cost, you know, to go to school there and all this sort of thing? And we just thought, you know, God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been very, very interesting, and we sure thank you for your time. And mm-hmm. we'll get the rest of the paperwork filled out as we go along.
Yeah.
But we surely do thank you for this.
Oh, yeah.